May the Lord help us to commence our service with hymn number 178. Abundance of good folk I find are gathering goodness for the wind to scatter it about. They seek with human care and skill their vessels with good wine to fill, but all the wine leaks out. Hymn 178.
Thank you. We will read from God's holy word, from the first book of Samuel, part of chapter 2 and chapter 3. The first book of Samuel, chapter 2, and we will commence at verse 22, concerning Eli the high priest. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favour both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father, when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honourest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me for ever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. Thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house for ever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes, and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed for ever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. And the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering for ever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and it let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst now help us to come rightly before thee. For, O Lord, we are now met together in thy presence. For, O Lord, thou seest me. Thou seest each one of us. Thou seest our heart. Thou knowest us all together, and what vile sinners we are. O Lord, we do pray for that almighty help from on high. We can only come pleading the name of Jesus. And O Lord, we would plead with thee that thou mightest be pleased to hear our poor prayers, to accept our worship, that we may have ears to hear, a tongue to speak thy word. O, our hope is in thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, that thou mightest draw near to us. O Lord, that we might know thy precious shed blood shed at Calvary, to cleanse us from all sin and iniquity, and thy resurrection power to raise us up above the dead things of this world, the fleshly things of this world, for that we may seek thee. We may seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness. O Lord, do Touch our lips with a live coal from off thine heavenly altar. Do touch our ears that we may hear. Do soften our hearts that we may receive the truth and truly have that love of the truth in our hearts. And that as we leave this place, if spared, we may walk out that which we consider this day, that we may not be left as hypocrites, speakers or hearers of the word only, but not doers of it. O Lord, may there be that glorious power of the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts, in our worship this day, that all we may do may be to thine honour and glory, O Lord. O, we do pray that thou mightest appear, thou mightest guide and direct us. Thou hast granted us that opening up of the scriptures, that opening up of our hearts, that opening up of our eyes and our ears, that we may see the truth, we may hear the truth, we may understand the truth, and there may be that love implanted in our hearts, that we may desire and seek thee. O Lord, do you appear for us, we pray, and if there be any here that know thee not, are not seeking thee, have no desire after thee, their only desire is when the service will end. O Lord, do have mercy upon them. Do grant that their hearts may be pierced by the arrows of thy word. They may fall in conviction of sin under thee, and may go out from this place seeking thee. May go out from this place truly and earnestly praying unto thee. No, Lord, if there be any here that are so burdened over sin, scarcely feel any hope, but yet must come seeking thee, for who can tell? O Lord, do come according to thy precious promise, that they that seek shall find, that, O Lord, they may receive of thy mercy in Christ Jesus the Lord. Do grant that the word, thy word, may come with power even into their souls, and they may know that encouragement and help. And, O Lord, we do pray for the young people and children, that thou wouldst direct them and help them, give them that understanding, that right understanding of thy word, and a desire for thee. And, O Lord, do grant me that live coal from off thine heavenly altar to speak the words as I ought, that thy word may be honoured and glorified, that there may be that which is of benefit to the souls of the youngest, even to the oldest in our midst here. But, O Lord, do keep the children and young people in that right pathway, and if they be in a wrong pathway, O Lord, do bring them back. Lead them in that right way, lead us in the right way, that way that leadeth not to destruction but to eternal life. And, O Lord, do guide them rightly, we pray. Do guide them in that way before them, whether it be in marriage or in study or in the family. O Lord, do guide them. And we who are parents, may we be given that wisdom, that grace to bring our children up in thy nurture and admonition, thy holy name. O Lord, we would pray for those who are aged or infirm or in sickness, any that are unable to be here through weakness, infirmity or sickness or old age, whether here or absent, we do pray for them that thou wouldst uphold and strengthen them. Grant them thy favour in their souls. Any that are in great difficulty, do appear for them, or in great trouble or perplexity of mind, do grant them thy mercy and help and guidance. And, O Lord, we would pray for thy servants that are labouring this day, some in weakness and affliction. In old age, we do pray that thou would strengthen them, that though they preach in weakness, that the might of thy word by the Spirit may come into the hearts of those that hear. We do pray for our pastor labouring at home, that thou hast blessed his labours. and thy servants everywhere that go forth in thy name, we do beg that thou wouldst look in mercy upon our nation, that the word, thy word, may once more come powerfully into our hearts and our lives. Oh, how we have sinned, grievously sinned, and thou hast, for the most part, withdrawn the power. Yet we praise thee for thy mercy, that thou hast not utterly forsaken us, as our sins deserve. Yet we are on praying ground, yet we have the tokens of thy mercy and goodness. O Lord, we would pray for thy mercy now. Look in mercy, we pray, and grant that outpouring of the Spirit once more in our nation, in the churches, in the preaching of the word. That once more the word comes with that power, unutterable power, into the hearts and souls of the people. That there be many in the nation and in this area, in this village, that may be wrought upon by the Spirit to seek thee, to be brought under a conviction of their sins, to know that thou art holy, know that there is a judgment seat yet to come, that they must stand before it, or that there may be many delivered from the vanities of this present age, and brought to truly and humbly seek thee. And, O Lord, we do pray now for thy mercy and thy help. O Lord, how dependent we are, yet we do praise thee for thy gracious promises. Thy mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And, O Lord, that was spoken at the time of the terrible judgments upon Israel. But yet, thy mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest look in mercy upon us here and in the nation, in the churches, though we have vilely sinned and forsaken thy ways, gone after worldliness and vanity and tradition. O Lord, may we have that true spirit of repentance and a turning again unto thee. Do then help us, we pray. Grant us that strength, that wisdom. But above all else, whether we feel that strength or weakness, whether we feel helped or not, oneself in the pulpit, but may there be that help granted unto the people. For, O Lord, that is our desire, that there may be that help known in the hearts and souls of the people. And that thy name, O Lord Jesus, may be honoured and glorified. We ask in thy name, Amen.
Hymn 789. O ye sons of men, be wise, trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Hymn 789.
Thank you.
Let us turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and part of verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and part of verse 30, the latter part. For them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. For them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. These words were immediately spoken to Eli, the high priest, in his old age by a man of God. But they are recorded in the Word of God and are before us this morning, before you this morning, before me this morning, for our instruction, for our warning, for our encouragement. They are recorded in the Word of God. The Word of God is of no private interpretation. It is before you and before me this morning, this day. Them that honour me, that is God, this is God speaking. Them that honour me, I will honour. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Let us first, we must come first to the Lord Jesus Christ. For unless Christ is first, there will be no true honour and glory unto God. Unless Christ is first in the ministry and the worship, in your life and my life, in our prayers, in all our lives, all that we do, if Christ is not first, there is no honour and glory unto God. Let us consider the place, the tabernacle, here at Shiloh, where the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar, the candlestick, and all the implements of the tabernacle commanded of Moses that should be built, and the worship should be performed according to the word of the Lord. Aaron, the first high priest. Eli, one of the sons of Aaron, after many hundreds of years in that place. And then Hophni and Phinehas, his sons. For the place, the tabernacle. What does it set forth but Christ? The sacrifices, they all point to Christ. The Ark of the Covenant, the place where there is the mercy seat. That place of where there is the Word. The Word was to be placed in the Ark, signifying Christ the Word. The place where mercy is obtained by the grace of God. Described there in the Word of the Lord. The Word of God describes, although at that time none could enter but the high priest once a year into the holiest of all, but there it was described in the word, the mercy seat, the throne of grace. So it is with us. We, in our flesh, we cannot enter into the presence of God and know mercy, but it is there described in the word of God, the way of salvation, that by faith, God-given faith, we may enter thereby and come into the presence of God and know mercy and favour. How can it be that we who have so dishonoured God's word, we have so sinned against him, the vileness of our heart is ever before us? Such vile thoughts rise up, even if we truly know the Lord and have walked in his ways many years. There's that vileness that even so surprises us at times Even in our times of worship, even in the house of God, some vile thought arises. And woe is me, we cry like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord." There is our hope of ourselves, our flesh, our sinful mind. We do but dishonour God. We come into his presence and take hold of the word of God. Alas, we call under that condemnation that we read of in Romans chapter 1, holding the truth in unrighteousness. And so it is of ourselves. We come to the house of God, yet we hold the truth in unrighteousness. We sing the hymns, but our heart is not in it. We do dishonour the God of heaven. We come to the time of prayer and our mind is upon other things. We do dishonour God. We come to the house of God, yet the rest of our life, the rest of the week, or perhaps even the rest of this day, is not to his honour and glory. We do dishonour God, even being in the house of God, if our hearts are set upon all that we will do. What will we eat? What will we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Of naturally, from the fallen nature, our sinful heart, we but dishonour God. In all that we do, we but dishonour his name. But there is one who so perfectly honoured God, the Father. We read of that in John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I to honour my Father." The Lord Jesus Christ in his sacred humanity, he who is truly God manifest in the flesh, he honoured God the Father so perfectly in thought and in word indeed, with the heart, all the soul, all the might. He fulfilled the law of God, the word of God. He fulfilled all the types of the tabernacle in which Eli and Hophni, Phinehas and Samuel served. He fulfilled it all. They pointed to Christ, and those that in the Old Testament church who were truly his by faith, they looked forward to the coming Messiah, the one who would truly honour so perfectly the word of God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ honoured every single word of the law of God. Every jot and tittle, that is the smallest markings in the Hebrew alphabet, the very smallest things he honoured completely, so perfectly, in a way that we could not. Why did he do it? Why did he fulfil the law? Give honour and glory to God the Father and to redeem his church. Those who have vilely dishonoured him, there's that fulfilling of the law on their behalf. He fulfilled the law, wrought out a righteousness. What a blessed truth that is to those who feel that they have dishonoured God and do dishonour God and do nothing but dishonour God of themselves. But these things are of no concern to those who are unconcerned. What think ye of Christ? Where are you before God this morning? We are in the house of God, but where are you before him spiritually? Do you know the new birth? Do you know a new desire? Is there a seeking after God and godliness? Is there a hope that the Lord Jesus Christ brought out righteousness that he may be clothed upon, that he shed his precious blood, that by faith in his precious name you may be washed from your sins, that when he rose from the dead that you rose with him. Then if we come with that humble hope, that humble seeking, then we do spiritually honour God. As we are in Christ Jesus the Lord, outside of Christ there can be no honouring of his name. It is only in union with Christ can there be truly that spiritual honouring of God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If there is not faith in Christ, a believing upon him, a hoping in him, a diligent seeking of him, believing he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Unless we come by faith, faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly honoured God the Father, honoured him, as we've said, in his righteous, perfect life, in his perfect obedience, and how he honoured God the Father. Honoured in this, in that he paid the price, he bore the judgment. Those sins were atoned for. He delighted to do the will of God the Father. And even when he came to Gethsemane, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Despite the horror of bearing the sins of his people, bearing the wrath of God the Father in his sacred humanity, body and soul, knowing that he should, upon the cross, know that forsaking, and cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now the word of God, the judgment of God, must be vindicated. The sin cannot just be passed by lightly. But he must bear the wrath of God the Father on account of sin, on account of his people's sins. And it's your hope that your sins were there too. But outside of Christ, there is no hope. But in Christ, there is a glorious prospect of heaven, of communion with God, of deliverance from sin and judgment to come. And the Lord Jesus Christ, to the very last breath, upon the cross he fulfilled the word of God. He honoured God in all things. To the very end, when he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, there was that perfect honouring of God the Father. There is our hope. You may say, well, I've perhaps deviated from the context. I truly believe I haven't. For unless Christ is first, unless we seek Christ from Genesis to Revelation, we will not find the blessing in the Word of God. The very first word in Scripture in the original, in English, it's in the beginning, but it's only one word, literally beginning, a title of Christ. The last word in Scripture is Amen, a title of Christ. The very words from Genesis 1 to Revelation, end of Revelation, they speak, and they all point to Christ, the fulfilment of all things. And thus, when we come to this verse, them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We must first speak of Christ. But as we said, the place in which Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and Samuel were ministering was a tabernacle. And the sacrifices that they were sacrificing, the blood that was being shed, it all pointed unto Christ, the Redeemer. each one of them was in some measure serving in the house of God. We have the four characters here. We have Eli, old man, the high priest. Evidently, we believe from the word of God, one who was in Christ Jesus. But yet, in the measure of backsliding, for there was not that reproving, well, in one sense he reproved his sons, but he let them carry on in their evil way. He did not punish them according to the law. He gave his sons more honour than God in that matter concerning their vile behaviour in the sanctuary of God. But yet we read when Samuel was called to repeat that prophecy unto Eli, he bowed in submission before God, acknowledged that God was righteous. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Yet although Eli in so many ways, in his behaviour, in not putting his sons out of the priesthood, yea, they were worthy of death. And that he honoured his sons more than God in that matter. Yet, for all his sins and failings, yet he was given a spirit of humility, given a spirit of submission. He had that discernment given unto him concerning Samuel, indeed even concerning Hannah, although he first mistook her for one that was drunk. But yet there was the root of the matter in him. And is there not hope there? There may be so many things in our lives, things that we just cannot put right. And the longer we go on in our life, the more things there are that we have building up that we look back and with sorrow and we regret that which we have done or that which we have not done and we cannot put it right. But yet, though we may bear the chastening hand of God on account of these things, things that we must bear to our dying day, that we cannot put straight, yet have we a hope in Christ that although our lives have utterly dishonoured God in so many ways, how many times we come to the house of God and we've dishonoured him, yet there is that hope in the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, that the Lord Jesus Christ honoured when we dishonoured. We have in Isaiah's prophecy, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honourable. But the verses before that, they speak concerning Christ. The beginning of Isaiah 42 is, behold my servant, who I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That is Christ. My servant, mine elect. And that great office, to give thee a covenant of the people for a light to the of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. To bring the prisoners out from the prison. Yes, we've justly condemned, justly imprisoned. But the Lord is merciful to bring out them that have dishonoured. For the Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly honoured. The Lord Jesus Christ in his unspeakable sufferings upon the cross bore those sins that we have committed all, every one of his people, that number known to God alone. But we also read in verse 18 and 19, "Hear ye deaf and look, ye blind that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not? The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honourable." This messenger who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. Now the Lord sees all things. But in Christ, as we, as the Lord's people, are in Christ Jesus the Lord. And when we come before him by faith, pleading that precious name, the Lord looks not upon our dishonouring of the law, our unrighteousness, but upon Christ. He does not hear the words that we have said in the flesh, but hears the precious words of our Lord Jesus Christ and his prayer on behalf of his people. Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. And he opens the ears of his people to hear the precious truths. But that glorious hope is that when, as each one of us must surely come to meet God face to face, is that he will not look upon our unrighteous words, our unrighteous deeds. He will not hear the things that we have said. Some of us have said some terrible things concerning God and godliness, the people of God. What a mercy it is that Lord on that day will not hear that, but he will hear the precious prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the church. He who perfectly honoured them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, where there is that true work of grace in our hearts, there must be a desire, though we are still such sinners in this body, yet there must be that desire to honour God. Although we must confess that so often we fall prey to temptation, yet there must be that spark. No, it must be our desire that that spark may grow into a greater, as it were, flame in our hearts, in our lives, of zeal for the Lord, to honour his holy name. For them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Those that, as it were, will be granted that honour in the sight of God, to be with him, to reign as kings and priests. There must be that desire in their hearts, a true desire with the heart to honour God. Not being like those under the law seeking to earn it, thinking that they can honour of themselves God, but that trusting in Christ by precious faith, trusting in him. Although Eli was in so many ways dishonoured God in his life and in his conduct of his family, in permitting his sons to carry on, yet for all that he was in Christ Jesus. That is the blessed truth of the gospel to those that are repentant, and we see in the word of God That reply of Eli to Samuel, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good," there was a submission to the Lord. Yet though he was a very old man, he could not put right that which had been done wrong. He had no longer the power. In the flesh he was a weak man, he was blind. Yet he submitted before the Lord in faith. But let us consider the solemn case of Hophni and Phinehas. We have a number of young people, and each one of us at one time was a young person. Many of us here are parents. Searching example this is. Searching warning this is. But let us consider the nature of the sin and dishonour that Hophni and Phinehas did in the very house of God. They not only behaved vilely in the sight of God, but they caused the people also to transgress. They were the ones above all in Israel who should have set that example, should have instructed the people. Have compassion upon the ignorant and the out of the way. Have sought the honour and glory of God first, whereas it was they sought their own lusts first. To fill themselves with the best of the sacrifice in a way that God had forbidden. They put themselves first and not God. But we see with the solemnity of Hophni and Phinehas, also with Uzzah, some little way later in the book of Samuel, concerning Uzzah, who put his hand out to steady the ark of God and was struck dead on the spot for his error, for his disobedience to the word of the Lord. And here are we in the house of God, in the presence of God. We have the word of God that we have read, that perhaps each one of us have held in our hands, that speaks of Christ. Now in the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, those sins that the Lord so shows as so abominable in his sight, that so bring forth his wrath, is that which is done in the house of God and in the stated service of God. Think of Nadab and Abihu, two of the sons of Aaron who went forth offering strange fire. And there they were consumed in an instant by fire that went forth from God. We have Dathan, Abiram and Korah, who thought that they should be serving God in place of Aaron and Moses. And the 500, the number that were with them with their censers, to offer incense before the Lord, not according to God's calling, that would intrude themselves. How the earth swallowed them up, and some were consumed again with the fire. We've spoken of Uzzah, we've spoken of Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas, they were slain one day in battle. Suddenly, sudden destruction came upon them. We have Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. There they were in the church, seeking a name that they had given all, sold all their property, given it all to the Lord, yet they kept back a part. Now the wrath of God came forth. There are surely many other examples in Scripture. We have concerning the Pharisees, very proud of their religion, yet they dishonoured God so vilely. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, We have those that trusted in the name of Jerusalem, where the house of God was. They believed in the days of the prophet Jeremiah that they were safe there, that the Lord would not permit the enemies to destroy Jerusalem, but they were utterly dishonouring God. Well, in the New Testament church, it says that judgment shall begin with the house of God. It doesn't begin at the mosque. It doesn't begin at the place of idolatry. It doesn't begin at the place of vileness or gambling or the public house. It begins here at us. And where will you and I be? How have we walked in the ways of God? Or have we only taken a name that we are a Christian, but our lives, our hearts, are utterly at enmity with Him? Our God is a consuming fire. And as the wrath of God came forth upon Hophni, Phinehas, Uzzah, Ananias and Sapphira, if we have held the truth in unrighteousness, if we are here as hypocrites, and except the Lord grant us repentance unto life, it shall be our portion as well, your portion, and so especially that of a minister who knows not Christ in truth, preaches his name. Think of Judas Iscariot. Better for him that he was not born than should face the eternal wrath of God for such a deed. But these things we set before you not to condemn, but to, as it were, that may be searched out by the Spirit. Where are you before God this day? Is there any spiritual life in your heart? Is there any desire after Him? Well, it is well that we come to the house of God, but how solemn it is if week after week, month after month, year after year, we but dishonour His name. And have no true desire after Christ, that we may be partakers of His righteousness. But if the Lord is pleased to grant that true repentance, that sorrow over sin, that confession over sin, that humility before Him, a looking unto Jesus, to the one who has honoured, He will magnify the law and make it honourable. We read, the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake, and if by faith we look unto Him and live, the Lord is well pleased with His people in Christ Jesus. We read of that in Hebrews 11. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. With faith in Christ Jesus the Lord is well pleased. And truly there is an honouring of God. There were those that obeyed not the gospel. Why? For they sought righteousness in themselves. They sought the righteousness according to the law. They obeyed not the gospel. The gospel sets forth that righteousness is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And there is an honouring of God when we come before Him in confession of our sins. Confessing that He is holy, He is just, He is sovereign, He is all-seeing, all-knowing, and we unrighteous. Confession of sin before Him in repentance, there is an honouring of God. There is a giving of glory to God. Not half a heart, not like some who will confess. What we see in the Church of Rome, go to the confessional. I may have told some of you this before, but where I was first brought to a knowledge of the truth in Southampton, and next to the chapel there was an old Irish man who lived. And the place was in the most terrible state, most awful condition, the like that one scarcely sees. Filthy, dirty. Sometimes you'd hear all manner of filthy language coming from there. Usually the television going all the time. But from time to time you go across the road to the Mass House, the Church of Rome. Across the road. Even put on a suit and tie and look clean. But then one would see him doing that which is most vile around the city. Would he go along to the, like many have done, confess their sins, receive the absolution from their sins by a man, from the priest, and then gone and done the same sins again. And then come back again the next time to the priest, said a few Hail Marys or counted a few beads, and think they are clean. No, they're not. But what is the lesson for us? Are we leading a life that Monday to Saturday, or even perhaps this afternoon and evening, utterly denies the Lord that we have taken upon our lips in the hymns? Like our first hymn, are we gathering goodness for the wind to scatter it about? They seek with human care and skill their vessels with good wine to fill, but all the wine leaks out. There is no honour and glory given unto God if all our desire is that the rest of this day or the rest of this week is to our own good. To fill up the lusts of our flesh, the ambitions of our career, to have all the entertainment and fill of this world, to live in rebellion against God and God's word. We will not honour God if we come and take whatever words, the most blessed words upon our lips, read the most blessed part of Scripture. But if at the Amen at the end of the service we think, ah, oh, good, we're free from this place. Be warned, for except God give you mercy, you'll be like Hophni and Phinehas, Ananias, Sapphira, Judas Iscariot. Them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You notice there's either those that honour or those that despise. There isn't anything in between. We either honour God in Christ Jesus or we despise God. You either serve God or mammon. Mammon is ungodly riches. Either in Christ or outside of Christ. We will either be in heaven or hell. We're either walking with Christ or walking with the world and the devil. And if we backslide and go the way of the world or fall to the temptation of the devil, blessed be God that he does chasten and to restore his people. Sends a word like that word that came unto Eli. Not once, but twice. Second time through Samuel, but a child. A call of God to speak unto Eli, and Eli was given that spirit of submission and grace. So it will be with all of the Lord's people, but may we be warned. But may we be encouraged. For this is a blessed principle, them that honour me, I will honour. It is like that verse, they that seek shall find. Like in Hebrews, where faith is given, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Them that honour me, I will honour. Those that come in humility before the Lord, praying unto him, seeking him with a whole heart. Here we have a shall, a will. Them that honour me, I will honour. They that seek shall find. They that cast their all upon Christ Jesus, trusting in his righteousness by precious faith, he will not leave them. He will truly grant them to be partakers of that honour and glory in heaven, to deliver them from the hand of sin, death and hell and Satan. Them that honour me, I will honour. Oh, how God is honoured when the poor sinner, in repentance, comes before him. And that repentance isn't just a saying of sorry, isn't just a repeating of a Hail Mary, or counting of a few beads, or reading even a few pages of the Bible, or reading the Gospel Standard now and again. No matter how gracious the book we read, we need to have a gracious life, one of faith in Christ Jesus. It will not do to say words of repentance and there be no evidence in a life of repentance. It will not do to come seeking the Lord at the time of the service and then there be no desire to seek him thereafter. There must be that walking with Christ. For them that honour me, I will honour. That evidence of love. Love unto the Lord. A love which doesn't end at the chapel doorstep, but is shown forth in our life. For the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved his own even unto the end. And there was no intermission in that love. None at all. There was not one moment in which our Lord Jesus Christ did not love the church. His whole purpose was to obey the law and lay down his life, shed his precious blood and rise again for the church. And should that not be our prayerful desire, though we fall so short, but that is our desire, should it not be so? That our lives are a living sacrifice? That as he, if we are his, if he loved us, gave his precious life, shed his precious blood, should that not be our desire to walk with him in newness of life, that our whole lives be devoted to his honour and glory? Out of love he loved his own unto the end, because he loved, we love him because he first loved us. Them that honour me, I will honour. Them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, whatever persons we may be, we come before the judgment seat of Christ. Whatever we may have done in this life, whatever we may have achieved, however important we may have been. But if there is no, if we're not in Christ Jesus, there has been no honour and glory unto God. If we're not come before him in by faith, in prayer and repentance, looking unto Jesus, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, no matter what we are in this life here below, it will be esteemed as nothing before the judgment seat of Christ. But if we know Christ Jesus, we have all things. May it be our desire, our prayerful desire, our burning desire from the heart, so to seek him, and they that seek shall find. That is a law, as it were, that runs all the way through, a principle that runs all the way through Scripture. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and he is faithful. They that seek him shall find. They that honour him in a humble submission, in prayer and supplication, casting their all upon him, looking unto him, I will honour, says the Lord. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £685, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Tomorrow we hope to hold special services when Mr. Pocock is expected to preach at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 6:15 in the evening. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And next Lord's Day, God willing, Mr. Ince will preach and will address the Sunday School in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 302. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night. A worldly crowd to din thy ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. Hymn 302.
Thank you.
to, O Lord, look in mercy upon us, to forgive that which has been spoken amiss, that which has not been spoken that should. Do, O Lord, grant us thy favour as we seek to gather at the Sunday school and this evening, that thou wouldst be with us and speak unto us, we pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.